Please stand in body or in spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
God gave us birth by the word of truth. That we may abide in God's tent
and dwell on God's holy hill.
It is good for us to be here today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The whole world.
O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside and cleanse us of all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Good morning. First reading this morning is from the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you. You must neither add anything to what I command you nor take anything away from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely, this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 15 responsively with me. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill?
Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and seek the truth in their heart.
Who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors.
In whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath, even to their hurt.
Who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The second reading is from the first chapter of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that he would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome the meekness with meekness, the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers of who receive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forgot what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserve, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. For if any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things which come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within. They defile a person." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Isaiah was right about frogs like you. Oh, that's Jesus said it, not me. Just sorry. But I kind of like it. Things are about to get spicy when Jesus says stuff like this. And the Pharisees are involved, so we might be inclined to say, "Let them have it, Jesus." He continues, "You people make a big show of saying the right thing, but your heart isn't in it. You act like you're worshiping God, but you don't really mean it. You just use God as cover for teaching whatever suits your fancy, ditching God's command, and instead taking off the latest of the issues of the day." And Jesus said to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees only... Not to us, because we would never act like we're just worshiping and serving God and not really mean it, would we? Not us. We would never hide behind God to teach or espouse something that excludes people who don't look, act, and think and check the right box in November, would we? We, of course, would never do that. Because this message here today, it is just for the Pharisees and the Pharisees only. Jesus is, once again, showing that these old Hebraic laws, these old and busted Hebraic laws, these Old Testament laws, are meant to be superseded by his new teachings, are to be replaced by these New Testament Jesus teachings. In fact, got it right here. Let's just take this Bible and rip it. She was really worried. She thought I was actually going to rip it. What if I did rip it? Let's just take the Old Testament and rip it out and just throw it. We don't need it. Jesus is, in fact, saying that those laws aren't important today, right? No? No, he's not saying that. But we may look at it and say, Jesus is only saying this to the Pharisees, right? Even in Jesus' rebuke, he goes back to an Old Testament prophet, back here in this part of Scripture, right? He uses a Hebrew prophet, the prophet Isaiah. Maybe we shouldn't be so keen to throw the old away. Right? Jesus, in fact, isn't even taking an issue with the law today, is he? The word that was used several times was tradition. Open your Bibles, grab one of these, don't rip it in half. Open your Bibles and look it up. Find one, find anywhere, just one law that says that you have to wash your hands before you eat. Now, I'm going to say to you guys, does your mom or your dad tell you you have to wash your hands before you eat? No? Oh, man. You just threw down on your parents. You're like, I'd tell them that. In fact, my kids, I tell them before they unload our clean dishes from the dishwasher, they have to wash their hands, and they're like, ugh. I'm like, dude, they're clean. Wash your hands. But just like the Pharisees are saying you have to wash your hands before you eat, it's not in there. It's not in Scripture. You can look all you want. You can spend the rest of the day. Go home. I encourage you. Go home today. Spend the rest of the day in Scripture. There are 613 laws in this Old Testament. Not one of them says wash your hands before you eat. Now, we could argue there should be 614, and I would argue that because I think it's a really good idea to wash your hands before you eat. But there is not a single law that actually says that. Because this is a practice, it's a custom, it's a tradition, it's a ritual of the Pharisees. It is something that they, in fact, teach. So, the Lutherans, us, we have a term for this. We call it adiaphora. Who's heard of this word, adiaphora? Yes, one. Well, I'm sure you've heard of it. Adiaphora, right? Adiaphora, yeah, the retired pastor over there is like, no, not me. Adiaphora, it is a Greek term that means, by my definition, meh. Right? It is a human practice. It is a custom. It's a tradition that is neither good nor evil. That is neither commanded by God nor is it forbidden by God. Right? So, Holy Communion. Is it adiaphora? No, he was worried. He was like, man, I'm going to have to leave. No, it is not adiaphora. It is a command of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me, says Jesus. That is a command. But how do we commune exactly? Do we walk forward and gather around this table? Do we walk forward in a nice, neat, orderly line and I hand you bread? Right? Do I hand you one of these things as you walk in and you sit in your seat and fumble with it and before long you decide you can't open it and you throw it away anyway? That didn't break, did it? How do we commune? Right? Do we kneel up here? Do we stand up here? Do we use those flavorless wafers that shouldn't even count as bread? Do we bake our bread? Do we go out and buy our bread? Is the bread brown? Is it white? Do we take these little shot glasses? Do we pre-fill them and put them in the trays? Do we have, like we do here, do we have a common cup that we pour out of into the shot glasses? I hate to think about it. Do we drink out of that common cup, all of us together? Only the Catholics do that. I've been to a Lutheran church that does do that. Anyway, how we distribute and how we receive the bread and the wine, that is up to each and every community to figure out. It's adiaphora. The command is do this. And the promise that we receive on the other end is receive me, receive Jesus. Right? But adiaphora is the how of how we go about it. So the subject of Jesus' ire today, it isn't the Pharisees per se. It isn't even about hand washing. Jesus is angry that human beings use practices, customs, traditions, teachings, and disguise them as God's unquestionable commands. God's could not be any more clear, but don't really appear in the Torah anywhere, or maybe even all of Scripture, as laws. And then use these things to exclude. It's about exclusion. And it just so happens that in this instance, the Pharisees take the brunt of Jesus' anger, but most generally, Jesus is angry at human beings, at us, and at the human condition. And this is what Jesus is really railing about today. And if I'm going to give a little bit of evidence, and it's going to require you to dust off two things. One, math. You're going to have to do math today. And two, I need you to all dig deep and remember your biblical Greek, all right? He's like, I'm not ready. All right, you ready? I think you got this one. Pharisaios. Nobody? Pharisaios. How does it sound? Pharisee. Biblical Greek is easy. You can do it. It appears three times in this lection from today. And the Greek word anthropos. Anybody? What is anthropology? What does anthropology study?
Humans.
Humans. So anthropos means humans. It means human beings. It means people, person. So, now, enough with the biblical Greek. Let's go to math. So, Pharisee, three times. Anthropos, 11 times, same reading. What is this reading about? Which one is bigger?
Humans.
It's about humans. And you're like, oh, but Jesus is probably saying how great human beings are, right? Jesus says this, for it is from within the cardius anthropos, from within the human heart, that evil intentions come. What are these evil intentions, we say? Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice. Not exactly sure what that is. I think it's greed. Wickedness, deceit, licentiousness. Still haven't figured that one out. Envy, slander, pride, and folly. All of these evil things come from within. That is what defiles the human being. That is what defiles the anthropos. Right? In other words, Jesus is saying, take this finger, this pointer finger. Everybody's got one, right? Point it. Point it right at me. I mean, I'm the one with the robe on. I'm the Pharisee. I'm the one that stands up here and tells you what you're doing wrong. Take that finger and turn it around. Point it right at your very human heart, because Jesus isn't talking to all of those people. Jesus is talking to us, too. Our heart. Our heart is the seat of feeling and impulse and infection and affection and desire. For those in Jesus' day, they understood the heart to be the seat of not necessarily your brain, your head. Your heart was your seat of rationality and will. So to the Pharisees, he might be saying, you can use water to ritually clean yourselves, but unless that water somehow touches your heart, unless that water reaches deep within yourselves into your very being, you cannot and you will not be clean. So now is when we smugly say to ourselves, how could these ridiculous religious people, these Pharisees, how could they think that this tradition, that this practice, that this custom, that this teaching with water on their hands could purify their hearts? And I dare ask the same question about us, about one of our own practices, our own customs, our own traditions, something that we already did today, in fact. Everybody say it with me. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. Confession and forgiveness. When we gather here, when we confess our sins, do we really, and I mean really, truly, and humbly repent? I will pause and allow you to think. Do we long during our confession to be better neighbors? Do we long to stop slandering the people that we just don't really like? I mean, they deserve to be slandered. They're awful. Do we long to do these things? Do we long for the waters of forgiveness to reach deep within us and wash our hearts? Or is this just another ritual, confession and forgiveness? Is it just a part of the liturgy? Is it a practice? Is it a custom? Do the waters of forgiveness wash our hands and perhaps our tongues of confession, that which we confess by, and leave our hearts defiled with sin? Let me ask it this way. When we leave this place, I mean, most of you will not spend all 168 hours of your week here, right? So, when we leave this place, when we go outside of these doors, when we go out into the world, how do we return to it? Do we just keep right on doing all of those things that we confessed when we came here? Why'd you smile? Are you saying that you do that or I do that? Should not call your wife out in a sermon. Anyway, knowing that we will be forgiven again next week. So let me ask this. What sins do you cling to so tightly that they simply will not wash off? What sins do I cling to so tightly that they will not wash off because we hold them in our hearts? For whom do we harbor resentment in our hearts? Who do we hate all the way deep down in our hearts? Who would never dare walk in here if they knew we were here? Who would never dare walk into a church like this one because of you and me? Let's be honest. Because of all. I mean, forget the rituals that we practice when we come inside these walls, the way we do communion, and whether we have a praise band or whether Adam plays the organ or the piano that day. What about all of the rituals, all of the things, all of the traditions, all of those things that we do out there that alienate those people from wanting them to come in here and be with us? So how is, if you want to eat with us, you have to wash your hands, how is that any different than if you want to worship with us, if you want to join this assembly, you have to fit into the Christian mold. Not just any Christian mold, the American Christian mold. Into this pious American Christian mold, into this box, into this stuffy. It is a little stuffy. I'm getting really excited, though, today, and it's kind of hot up here. Into this stuffy American Christian box. And the answer, I hate to say, is it is no different than saying you have to wash your hands before you eat. You want to know what a Pharisee looks like? Well, then take that finger and point it right back in. And honestly, you could take it and you could point it up at me, because this is what Pharisees looked like. They wore robes like this. But, there's always a but, right? We have a chance at redemption. Yay! What if the stuffy, get in our box, pious, we have all the answers, American Christian stopped being so high and mighty? And instead, you're laughing because you know it's true. That proves my point. And instead, we admitted who we really are. And I mean who we really are. We are broken human beings. Let me put it more simply. We're human beings. The broken is actually kind of implied. What if we just admitted this? So Anne Lamott, she is an American novelist, and she says this about the human condition, and I absolutely love this. She nails it. Everyone is screwed up. Everyone is broken and clingy and scared, even those who seem to have it more or less together. They are much more like you than you would believe. So try not to compare your insides to their outsides. Wow, if we lived like that, imagine how more freely we might breathe. What if instead of going around and telling everyone what they're doing wrong, what they should do, what if, and mind you, this is just an idea. We're going to try it out today. We're going to see how it sounds, okay? And I'll be the guinea pig. And I hate to say, you're not going to like how this sounds, and you're probably not going to do it, but I'll do it. What if we go out and tell people who we are? She's like, no thanks. who we really are. We are not going to like how this sounds, especially if we use Jesus' words about the human condition today. And before I say this, two things. Jeff, do not cut out a snippet and post it to Facebook. It needs to stay in context. Two, I remind us that we sin in thought, word, and deed. I need to say this especially to my wife who is sitting right there. What if I went up to someone out there who has no idea who I am, and I said, hi, I'm Sean, and I'm a pastor. And their normal reaction would be, ugh, a pastor, a judgy pastor. But what if I followed it up with, hi, I'm Sean, and I'm a pastor. I'm also a fornicator, a thief, a murderer. I'm an adulterer, don't tell my wife or the bishop, please. I'm envious, I'm slanderous, I'm prideful, and I'm foolish. And I am a broken human being. And if you two are even a tenth of as lost and broken as I am, perhaps you might think about coming to a place where a whole bunch of other people gather who are just as lost and broken as me, in order that we might gather here together and be healed. That we might come together and be made whole. And you know what we call ourselves? We call ourselves Christians. I kind of like how that sounds, actually. If we as Christians admitted how truly screwed up and broken we are on the inside, and stop putting on a show for everyone. Stop with the surface-level rituals of washing and scrubbing our sins. Perhaps we could experience the gift that is truly free of Jesus entering into our hearts to wash and to cleanse us from the inside out. I think this is what Jesus is asking or even demanding of us today. And if this demand seems really big, and it kind of is, well, compare it to the gift. Jesus says, I will wash away the fornication, the theft, and the murder, the adultery, the avarice, and the wickedness, and the deceit, and the licentiousness. Can anyone please tell me what that means? No? Okay. But Jesus will wash it away too. The envy and the slander that resides in your hearts, Jesus will wash it away. And he says, I will wash away the foolish pride that you have that leads you to believe that there is anything that you can or must do to make this happen. This is a truly extraordinary promise. It is a promise of God's grace made known to us in and through Jesus Christ. And if we are doing anything at all that is keeping other people from coming here, coming into this place, or going to other places where Christians gather, that stop them from hearing this promise, this gift, this grace, well, Jesus says today, in no uncertain terms, knock it off. You see, we are broken and sinful. We are not always, or perhaps rarely are, the greatest of disciples. We're pretty terrible when it comes down to it, which puts us in great company with, you know, the actual first disciples. And strangely, as we stand up and we tell our stories, when we are honest with ourselves and others, and they see how Jesus has washed us, our brokenness from the inside out has washed our hearts, our broken hearts, and how Jesus has freed us, how Jesus has liberated us, we glimpse God's very goodness made known to us and to the world. Think about that. How amazing it is that God uses sinners like us, broken human beings like us, hypocrites like us, frauds like us, to witness to God's mercy and God's saving power. And if that is not the good news of Jesus Christ, then I don't know what is. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. You're up, Adam. I don't know what I do with my baby.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before we pray, are there any additional prayers today for our intercessory prayers? Diana Kieber. Diane and Kevin. I'll get it eventually. Diane and Kevin. Drawn together in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray with confidence for the church, for God's good creation, and all who are in need.
God of every generation, give the church a sense of purpose, belonging, and sustain us, this congregation's relationship with St. Paul's in North Robinson. Build and nourish leaders and lay people as we accompany one another in our life with Christ. And open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds to the orphans, widows, and outsiders who find themselves oppressed by the human system and structures of this day and time. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God of creation, you named humans as co-creators with you. Where the earth cries out in pain, bring us wholeness. Guide governments and industry that environmental laws and practices seek to heal and not harm. Bring relief to people and places where the power of creation has overwhelmed humanity. We pray especially today for Sudan, where heavy rains caused a dam to burst, which led to the destruction of homes for more than 50,000 people and the deaths of at least 30. Subdue your good creation that we may steward and live at one with what you have made. Comfort those who are grieving the loss of life and help those who have lost homes and livelihoods to rebuild. Merciful God,
Sovereign God, we pray for local communities of every kind, rural and urban, established and new. We especially lift up those people of Galion, Crestline, Bucyrus, Crawford County, North Central Ohio. Lead those in authority in government, business, industry, media, nonprofits, especially Cooperative Christian Services of Galion, youth organizations, especially the Girl Scouts, and religious organizations, especially First Lutheran, to seek the good of all through their words and actions, and to mentor others in honest, generous ways. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Healing God, you draw near to all who are hurting. Be with all who desire relief from chronic illness and acute illness, from cancer and post-traumatic stress disorder. Strengthen healthcare workers, therapists, and caregivers. Tend to those who are close to our hearts this day, especially Paige, Robin, Phil, Carl, Sandy, Noel, Scott, Jean, Stephanie, and Nathan, Tina, Kathy, Barb, Jane, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma. We pray for Diane and Kevin, for Connie, and for Jared. We pray that Jordan and his family may return safely to Ohio. And we also pray for many, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayers. On this Labor Day weekend, we ask that you give us rest to those who labor, to those who struggle to find time to rest, to those who need respite from their jobs as caregivers of young, old, and those with special needs. And we thank all for those who is unseen and unappreciated. We lift up those who work strange schedules, weekends, evenings, or nights, and ask that you provide them comfort, that they may find rest in you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We entrust these and all our prayers to you, Holy God, in the name of your beloved child, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Somebody made a really good point that another option for communion bread is Olive Garden breadsticks. Anyway, let us continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, source of every gift of our creation. By these gifts and with our lives, help us to serve one another and all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
There is nothing that we can do. There is no ritual of purification that prepares us to come to this table. It is through Christ's work that we are prepared, and by his hand that we are invited. So come to the table where all are always welcome. Eat, drink, and be restored.
Thank you.
now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be a place to be at peace with others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Okay. My daughter is telling me don't be too long on the announcements. So, anyway, next Sunday we will have a fall in potluck, and that basically means fall back into coming to church. I don't need to tell any of you because you're here. But if there are people who aren't that might want to come to our potluck, invite them. But you have to use the invitation that I used today, and it starts with, I am, what is it, an adulterer? Yeah, just start with that one, see how it works. So please come to that, bring something to share, a dessert or whatnot, and if you can't, just show up, and I'm sure there will be plenty of food. So, September is, we are collecting for CCSG, as we will every month, but for September, we're going to change it up a little bit. It is Bake My Day month. Get it? It's a pun. Baking mixes, frosting, bread, cornbread, cake, it's all listed in your bulletin. Anyway, and then the Sunday after, the 15th, we will be joining St. Paul at North Robinson at the little cabin thing just south of Colonel Crawford High School. So please consider joining us for that. I said we would have 75 people there, so y'all.
That's up for 60.
Anyway, so please consider coming to that as well. So that will also be a potluck, bring lawn chairs, and there are ways that they are working to make that accessible for people that are worried about the walking. They'll have golf carts and all the things. So, but anyway, plus you can sit in a lawn chair and fall asleep. It'll be great. Any other announcements this morning? Other than also with our fall in potluck, we will be inviting some new folks to commune with us next week. So that is always an exciting thing when folks commune for the first time. So with that, please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. can wash our hands to try to clean ourselves.
But evil intentions come from a human heart.
You have been washed by Christ's blood and are prepared to serve.
So go, serve the poor, the widow, and the orphan.
We will. Thanks be to God.